Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about prohibitions in the Torah according to the wisdom of Kabbalah. A person that reads the Torah, that studied the Torah, that heard about it, he discovers that there are many prohibitions. So we'd like to see what does the wisdom of Kabbalah say about this on our way to a better life. Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah. I'll start with a personal story. As a teenager, I stayed with a friend. And it was a religious home. And there are different laws. And I came from a completely secular home. And I'm not familiar with these rules, with these laws. And by mistake, I turned off the light. And I remember how she stared at me. She didn't even say anything, just how she stared at me. I was really frightened. Afterwards, I wanted to ask, why is it prohibited, and so on. And as a teenager, I already understood that the way I saw it, that these prohibitions aren't something rational that someone can explain, but it's simply this how you have to do it, and that's that. And what I like, especially in the wisdom of Kabbalah, is that you can ask about everything why, and try and understand the rationale behind it. So I'd like to understand the prohibitions. This is what we'd like to talk about the prohibitions in the Torah, that there are many prohibitions. There are the mitzvot of do and don't do. So let's talk about the prohibitions a moment, the way the Torah presents them. What's the rationale behind them? What are these prohibitions? We're living in a kind of bubble, the laws of which we don't really understand. We learn a bit about the laws from physics, from chemistry, but the real laws, we're not familiar with them. The wisdom of Kabbalah talks about the spiritual laws that are revealed as the forces of the upper nature. The upper nature is called the force of bestowal. The nature of our world is the force of reception. The upper nature are altruistic forces, and the nature of this world are egoistic forces. So, there is a very simple law, just one law of the upper nature, that it is forbidden to be an egoist. This is the central prohibition, that it's forbidden to be an egoist. Yeah. Meaning, whatever action a person does to his own benefit is prohibited. Any action that a person does to the benefit of others is called a mitzvah. So you already have a mitzvah and a prohibition. And that's it. What else do you want to know? I'm done. So, you're saying I put it simple. Prohibited is everything that I do to my own benefit. Everything that's egoistic is forbidden. It's like Hillel that told that proselyte that came to him, don't do to others what you hate. Okay, but I, as a secular person, I see that there are many customs or mitzvot in the spiritual world. To us, it's clear, those that are in spiritual attainment, that have revealed the spiritual world, to them it is clear what's allowed and what's prohibited. Whereas in our world, it's not that clear. Like you say, to light a candle or light or a lamp on Saturday, what kind of transgression am I committing here? Who am I harming? True. So, just to try and understand, according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, what's the difference between what's allowed and what's forbidden? Forbidden, I understand, that's an egoistic action. It's forbidden to use the ego, and it's allowed to use the force of bestowal and love. If so, and in the Torah, it's very elaborately explained that this forbidden, that's forbidden, so on, so what. It's a kind of a work plan or something. I don't even know how to put it, but something that helps me understand what's forbidden. The Torah doesn't talk about this world at all. The Torah is called sanctity. Sanctity in Hebrew means that this is something different, separate, that doesn't talk about this world. It explains the laws of the upper world, the spiritual laws, and therefore it explains to us what's allowed and what's forbidden for a person that is in the upper world, that attains, that perceives the upper world, and whoever is not there isn't. And therefore, in regard to spiritual laws, whoever is not in the spiritual world, then there's no problem. Still, what does a person have to understand about the prohibition in order to keep it in some way? No. What we can keep in our world in order to enter the spiritual world is all in all the law of love of others. So it means that if I want to spiritually evolve, then what's the first thing that's prohibited to do and what's the first thing that I have to do? Whatever is bad for you, don't do to others. Meaning not to harm others. This is the first thing that's forbidden to do. Yeah. And vice versa. What I think is beneficial to others, maybe not, who knows. Maybe you'll start giving me such flavors that you're used to and that you think are good, but I don't. So it's clear that if you don't like something and don't do it to me, then that's already good. But if we're talking about giving something to someone, then not necessarily. Now, we see that in the Torah, there are so many prohibitions. So what, they were written just so? No. It's only an explanation of the usage of the ego, only written in the language of this world. But what it really talks about are spiritual actions. These prohibitions, are they there to protect us in some way? Right? God forbid not to allow us to fall into our ego, because by that, we lose our spiritual form, our spiritual degree. I must say, I remember also as a teenager, in general, I always saw the Torah as something that is all the time trying to restrict me. This forbidden, that's forbidden. A feeling that there's something that really limits you. That, like, gives you a feeling that you're doing something wrong. This was the general feeling. Now, from the point of view of the wisdom of Kabbalah, from the point of view of someone who wants to ask questions and who wants to keep evolving, does the Torah really limit us so much? The Torah does not limit us. Its purpose is to invert a person from how he is now, that in regard to the Torah, in relation to the Torah, he's considered a beast, to something called an Adam, a human being in Hebrew. Adam in Hebrew means to be similar to the upper force, incomplete bestowal, love, love of others. So it's not that it limits, but it guides, it directs. No. Now, I think that this feeling that also exists among the seculars, it also exists in regard to the Jewish people, also when others look at us from the outside in, we always look different. Those that have laws of their own, that this is allowed, this is forbidden, do this, don't do that. We're always seen as something very, I can't really explain myself, but you're looking at different customs. Customs, not laws, but customs that are unrelated to the Torah, but it has to do with human behavior, with a phenomenon formed, shaped by people in our world. But really, the entire Torah is something that you have to keep in your heart, in the relationships between people and only. This is what the Ibn Ezra writes. So you're saying that we, as human beings, have created different customs and traditions, and this is how others see us too. Yeah, they only see the actions that we perform, but really it's not about the actions, but it's about correcting the heart. Okay, now let's talk about the punishments. Because going back to the story we started out with, I remember that my friend, she told me, what, don't you know it's prohibited? You're going to be punished. So not only that I don't understand what I'm doing, I'm also going to be punished for something that I don't understand. So what are these punishments that the Torah talks about? Does it really punish a person? No. If I breach some prohibition that I don't even understand, no. A person who doesn't understand what he's doing, so he doesn't get any punishment. No, then what are all of these punishments that all these things, again, I'm repeating, that everything that the Torah demands is love of others, and in regard to love of others, it judges a person, and only. So it's not that there's some upper force that's watching me, did I or didn't I do something, and punishes me if I don't do something. It's not the upper force, but you are in a system of forces called nature, or the upper force, or the creator. It doesn't matter how you call it. It's a very rigid system that entirely functions according to the law of the ideal connection between all of its parts, and according to the complete connection of all forces, and you are inside the system of forces, like in a network. And to the measure to which you, according to your development, according to your degree, are similar to this system, you feel good. If you're not similar, or to the measure to which you're not similar, you feel bad. That the bad that you feel comes in order to straighten you out and to direct you towards the good. So how would you really define the concept of punishment? Is there such a thing as punishments in spirituality? No, it's called correction. So the wisdom of Kabbalah doesn't talk about punishments, but about corrections. Right. Okay, so let's try and sum up what we learned up until now, because it's a completely different way of looking at things than the one that we're familiar with. So a prohibition is not to be an egoist. Punishment, there's no such thing as punishments, but corrections. Another thing is that the Torah, it doesn't restrict or limit you, it guides you, directs you. Yeah. So the perception of the wisdom of Kabbalah is very different than what we're familiar with. So if I want to keep the laws correctly, I do want to evolve. I don't want to do things that are egoistic, that are to my own benefit. How do I evolve in the correct and the right direction in order to keep these prohibitions, not because someone told me to, but because I really feel that it's the wrong thing to do? So we're going back to what Hillel said, don't do to others what you hate. So this is my first guidance. I see that it begins with prohibitions. It doesn't say do. First of all, don't do. Don't do what you don't like, don't do to others. I'd like to ask about one more thing. I understand the general definition of things. Now I want to take a specific example. In the Torah, it says a lot about the Sabbath. One thing it says, don't light fire on Sabbath. How is that related to everything that we talked about up until now? Not to be an egoist, to first and foremost keep yourself from harming, and then also to try and benefit. Let's take the example of not lighting fire on Sabbath. What about that? Sabbath is a state called the end of correction, where everything, including everything, works ideally, only in order to bestow, to give, to fulfill others, love others. That's called Sabbath. All the prohibitions on Sabbath are talking about those actions that we were allowed to do before the end of the correction of the ego, when it still wasn't entirely in order to bestow. I kind of lost you. The first thing you said was that Sabbath is a symbol. The Sabbath is a symbol to a completely corrected state where everything works in love and bestowal toward each other. Yes. Okay, so this I understand. Sabbath is a symbol for what? For the peak of our development? Yes. What's the next thing? The prohibitions. The prohibitions on Sabbath are those things that you do that are not for the sake of correcting the whole of reality toward connection. I don't understand. Everything stems from the shattering, from the sin of the tree of knowledge, that there was a tightly closed system that was ideally connected between all of its parts. And that system is called the soul of Adam HaRishon, literally meaning the first Adam. And that system broke. The connections inside that system between all of its parts broke. And everything that happens since then is only how to reunite, collect and reconnect those parts to how they were before. Even though that there's a confusion between all the parts because they all fell and mixed with one another and whatnot. What we have to do is to scrutinize each and every detail. These are desires, each and every desire. What is it related to? Is it in favor or against connection? And what kind of connection between them and what kind of constellation are they supposed to be? And this is our work over a period of what we call 6,000 years. Now, when we start scrutinizing these laws in spirituality, what do you mean when you say in spirituality? Spirituality meaning how to connect them, even though that these broken desires, they're all egoistic, and each of them rejects the others, and each of them, on the other hand, wants to control the others. Meaning besides not wanting to belong to anyone, I also want to control everyone else. So, if we scrutinize these relations, we reach these conditions of don't do to others what you hate, love another as yourself, the kind of connection that the Ten Commandments talk about, and so on. Now, When we start revealing these laws, particularly in regard to the broken soul, then there we have plenty of laws about how each and every broken desire connects with the rest of the broken desires. And so what we get is our 620 actions that we have to connect and to bring them to the degree of love. 620 actions. It says that there are 613 mitzvot in the Torah, so there are an additional 7. Okay, all in all, 620 actions that restore the system that fell apart into its harmonious state, where all the parts in the system work in love toward each other. Yes. Going back to my question of don't light fire on Sabbath. Sabbath is called the day of the end of correction, where all the desires are connected with one another, where everything is ideally connected, all of the parts are ideally connected, and we have restored the soul of Adam HaRishon to its perfectly corrected form like it was before the shattering. And now someone lights fire, meaning he's performing a certain action, and it doesn't matter if it's small or great, lighting fire or doing something else, that there's no room for, because everything's already corrected. Everything's corrected. Meaning, if you'll try to do or add something, you'll only ruin things. Yeah? And this is why it's forbidden to do. And therefore, what do you do on Sabbath? You sit. Not to stand in the way of perfection. Whatever you do now will breach the perfection. Yeah. I eat something, I bless for the food, I do things that are allowed to do because by doing them, I don't build anything new. And this is a symbol, if we're talking about our world, this is a symbol that we're not making any corrections. What are corrections? Connections, where everything's already connected. We brought all of creation back from its shattering, from the sin of the tree of knowledge, to how it was before, to how it used to be. So, the peak of our evolvement as a human species is for all of us to be connected as components in one perfect system, and that's called the soul. So it broke in order for us to rebuild it. It's like giving children a puzzle. Yeah. Now, this thing, this state that we're so far from, let's just put it aside a second because the relationships between people aren't that way at all. But you're saying that this is the peak of our development as human beings, and that's called the day of Sabbath, but we're not there yet. So what, once a week we have to remind ourselves where are we headed? Why is there this cycle? Yeah, we have to learn that because the entire system works in a cycle, that we have such stages that it goes through called states or sfirot, chesed gvura tiferet, netzach hod yesod malchut. Malchut is the seventh day, the Sabbath, that if we correct ourselves in chesed gvura tiferet, netzach hod and yesod, in the six work days, then the seventh day is the connection of all of them together, giving us the spiritual attainment of what we have achieved. But when we attain the spiritual attainment in spirituality, then it's forbidden for us to do work there. It's all in all the sum total of the six work days, of our work in the six work days, and therefore this is how we behave in our world. Everything that we're doing is only a symbol. So the symbol called the day of Sabbath, that after the six work days, I have the Sabbath, this is all a symbol, a sign that reminds me about the final goal of the correction of the system where we have to rebuild build it and so on. Yeah. Now, when we'll reach this perfect state where there's nothing more to correct, to build, because nothing's corrupted anymore, then therefore, as a result, as a projection or as a copy in our world, there's also the day of Sabbath and so on. Yeah, the 39 forbidden, prohibited actions that are all actions of building, of putting back together the puzzle. Yeah. So, things, this is what I understand, things aren't in their simple meaning, that it's written about this in the Torah, and that today there is Sabbath on the calendar. These are like pointers that tell us about states that we didn't reach yet, that it's the Sabbath. It doesn't mean that we have reached love between us. Right, we're still far from it. It's like typing in Waze, what's my destination? So the final destination for people is Sabbath for the entire world. So the Torah is something much broader. It's not only for religious Jews. It's the law of all the worlds. It's the law of the whole of reality. It's the final stop of the whole of reality toward which all of us have to head. And we're doing it only still by forces that force us to do it. Last question. The Torah is divided into two kinds of mitzvot, do and don't do. And there are many more mitzvot of don't do. What are these? And why are there more don't do than do? Because it's forbidden for us to use our ego in all the different possible options that it can be used, in all the different variations. So first of all, don't do. Meaning it's forbidden for you to use your egoistic desire. The more divided it is, the more it wants to erupt in different directions. Therefore, the mitzvot of don't do are so harsh, and there are so many of them. Whereas the mitzvot of do, these are mitzvot of, if you do them, you do. If you don't, you don't. Let's say it's for the more advanced. Yeah, it's to make things more subtle. Make what more subtle? The state called the end of correction. You can either bring or not bring your wife flowers, some fancy challah, or an ordinary piece of bread, which is also good. I see. Last question. Just like the example you gave with the Sabbath, that we shouldn't understand things literally, that this isn't what they mean. But were we to now discuss all of the prohibitions of the Torah, you'd show me something more internal that's related to the interactions between the parts and the broken system on their way to becoming a harmonious system. Yeah. So without having the big picture and understanding how all these details work, together, how they're connected together, I can't understand what it says in the Torah. So what's the most important thing to know about the prohibitions in the Torah? Don't do to others what you hate, if we're talking about prohibitions. And if it's to do, then love another as yourself. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.